a martini, shaken, not stirred.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Houston, we have a problem.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I'm your number one fan.
And here we go.
Welcome, film fans, to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. As our A24 talk continues and we discuss It Comes at Night, I'm your host, Juan. I'm joined here by Ed.
Hey, what's up, folks?
Ed, how you doing today?
You know, can't complain. Can't complain. How about yourself?
Good, good. I got some air in my lungs. I got to watch a really fun movie. Uh-oh. And we have a pretty good fun conversation lined out for everybody today.
As you may not see, we both have masks on today because we literally don't know if each other has, like, the It Comes at Night sickness. Not COVID. We are not talking COVID.
Yeah, we're not worried about COVID.
Please chill. We're not doing COVID.
We're worried about what comes at night. But exactly. I'm a little disappointed.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little on the sad side because this is our second to last A24 film.
Oh, I was about to say, like, you disappointed in an A24 film? Like,
yeah,
damn.
I was a little disappointed last week for those of you that, you know, we talked The Killings of a Sacred Deer. Ed gave it a 5, I gave it a 6. It wasn't it's a good movie, but it wasn't as a fun conversation as I thought it was going to be.
Martin, you little bastard.
But this one, on the other hand, I'm really excited to dig into. But yeah, I mean, for those of you who've been following up on social media, we weren't going to do A24 forever on this bonus series that we're doing. So we're doing It Comes at Night today. And then next Thursday, we're going to be talking The Green Room.
Wait, we're doing It Comes at Night today, but it's at night, not today.
Right.
What the hell?
So when you guys listen to this, it will be Thursday morning. but no. What about you, man? What is this as we continue to do the A24 movies and talk about them? You know, we're almost done. Next week is going to be the last one. And I don't know if anybody out there is kind of getting the paces that we've been doing. But Ed, have you noticed that these movies are getting, on the ones that have been picked, they're getting darker and darker?
Yeah, I mean,
with The Killings of a Sacred Deer, It Comes at Night, and the next week is The Green Room.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, it's kind of been nice because it's kind of a slow lead-in to what we're doing next. So it's been a nice kind of, like,
you want to tell? I mean,
warm-up.
If you follow us on social media, what we're doing next is going to be August the 5th. We are talking Friday the 13th, Part 1. And I think it is going to be a fun conversation.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Some of these movies. So we're going to talk Friday the 13th. But not only are we talking Friday the 13th, we're talking, like, the whole franchise. We're talking the series. Something that I think maybe hasn't really been done.
Right.
As far as, like, yeah, a lot of people who are into horror movies have seen Friday the 13th. But not only are we doing that, like, you know, a few weeks, it'll be Friday the 13th Part 2.
Yeah.
Part 3, Part 4. And I think it's going to be fun. Not only are we talking the actual movie, but we're going to talk the Friday the 13th Scream Factory Special Edition box set that's almost 1 year old. Came out last September. So actually this September we're going to be talking about one of the Friday the 13th movies.
So are we actually going to be talking just the original Friday the 13th, or are we talking extra after it?
We're going to be talking about the movie in each episode. Each episode is going to be dedicated to one of the movies.
Right.
So not only are we talking about the movie, not only talking about the cast or some of the kills,
yeah,
we're going to be talking about the actual artwork itself.
Okay.
What each film delivers, and you know, that whole day, that whole Thursday, and maybe some of that Friday is going to be dedicated to the artwork of that particular film. So if you guys have seen some of the artwork of the Friday the 13th box sets that's out there, put out by Scream Factory, you know, we're going to be talking about all that stuff, the special features, everything. So it's going to be a fun conversation. It's going to be different. It's going to be unique. It's not going to be drawn out as far as, like, you know, we're not going to sit there and talk 2 hours about Friday the 13th. You know, it's going to be just like these A24 episodes. It's going to be about 45 minutes to an hour, nice little fun conversation, and then we're going to, you know, treat it like a one-night stand, boom, hit it, get out. So.
Walk of Shame, too.
Yeah. So. Aww. But no, it's going to be fun. So that's what's in store after A24 is Friday the 13th. But man, I want to talk. Last Monday we talked John Wick Chapter 3. So if you guys have not seen that, go back and check it out and then listen to our episode. It just came out on Monday. Go out there and check it out. And then next week, guys, we're talking District 9 on next Monday's episode. And then next Thursday, our A24 finale, we talk The Green Room. Which, if you have not seen The Green Room...
Right, I have not.
You haven't?
No.
So if you have not seen Green Room, go and check it out. It's on Hulu Premium Subscription, which means you have to have, like, I think, a Sling TV. It's on YouTube TV. Or you can just check it out on Amazon Prime. It's also on the Showtime subscription. Or you can check it out on Blu-ray and DVD. I've seen the Blu-ray for, like, $7. So that's what we're talking about next week. But today... we are talking It Comes at Night. But you guys can also check us out and find us on the social media page. We have all kinds of winners and free giveaways that we like to do on the social media page. So the Instagram is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Or just search The Cinnamon Movie Podcast on Facebook and we'll pop right up. The Twitter is at Cinnamon405. So check us out there. And we also have a YouTube page where they can find all these unboxings and episodes. How do they find the YouTube page?
Pretty easy. Go to that facebook.com/ movie rules 405, or, you know, Cinnamon Movie Podcast for that matter. Either way, for that matter, hit the learn more button at the top. That learn more button transports you over to the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel has the comment section as well as the like and unlike buttons, the subscribe button, as well as that notification bell to get notified anytime we drop an episode. So go ahead and hit all of those for me and mix them up.
And yeah, in those bios on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you can find the link tree, and it gives all kinds of links to our social media and our streaming sites where you can find us at. We are streaming on Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Pandora, TuneIn, Stitcher, Deezer, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts at, you can find the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. But no, let's talk. It Comes at Night was released June 9th, 2017, with a budget of $3 to $5 million, depending on who you talk to, probably. And then it grossed a little over $20 million at the box office. IMDb has it at 6.2, and Rotten Tomatoes is at 87%, while the Metascore sits at 78%. It Comes at Night stars Joel Edgerton, Christopher Abbott, Carmen Ejo, Riley Q, and Kelvin Harrison is somebody that I'm definitely going to be talking about in this episode. It Comes at Night secures with a desolated home as an unnatural threat terrorizes the world. A man has established a tenderous domestic order with his wife, and then a desperate young family arrives seeking refuge. Ed, what did you think of this movie? I think this movie... is a little, but no. Ed, was this your first time watch with it?
Yes, it was.
I think this is going to be pretty fun. I enjoyed this movie when I watched it in the theater, and I haven't seen it since then.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, last week really kind of fucked me up. Last week really, not wanting to say defeated me.
Okay.
But it really... it was almost like a little super kick to the face, because real talk, after watching the killings of a sacred deer and how you guys go back and listen, I want some honest feedback. Go back and listen to the killing of a sacred deer. I want to know what your thoughts were on the movie, on the conversation. I don't know if it was just maybe because I was dog tired but I felt like the movie just dragged. And I felt like the movie then poured out and seeped into the episode, and it just did not feel like a fun conversation. Anytime I talk any of these movies, I want to talk and have fun with it. I have fun watching movies, so therefore I feel like the conversation should be just as fun.
Right.
I did not have that feeling last week with The Killings of a Sacred Deer. On the other hand, this week, so, you know, thinking about watching this movie, I was like, oh, I kind of enjoyed it in the theater, just like I did The Killing of a Sacred Deer. But, so, I felt the same way going into this episode. I was like, man, I can't remember really the theater watch. I haven't seen it since. Is this going to be the same?
Right.
So I sat down this morning and I watched The Killings of a Sacred Deer. I took me a little notes and just set the phone aside. And I thoroughly enjoyed this watch. Really, really thoroughly. And it really surprised me. So I'm ready to get into today's episode and I'm ready to talk about it. Who knows? It could have also been that we're just getting over a pandemic in our own right. And who knows? You know, let's talk. The movie is dealing with like a post-apocalyptic world, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Almost like A Quiet Place, which we're going to be talking about in a few weeks. But this one has to deal with a sickness.
And I'll say this. A lot of post-apocalyptics like to deal with either sicknesses, eradications, or similar things, for that matter. And honestly, that's one thing us as a culture or a race, human race, are almost intrigued and entranced by, for that matter, because we're always wondering what's going to happen if the world's just pure fucking chaos, you know, or what's going to happen if it were down to the last thousand of us in the world.
But you know what, though? I kind of, after going through the pandemic, I kind of don't ever want to see that, because let's face it, we were in the middle of people losing jobs, and we were running out of fucking toilet paper. People were buying up toilet paper like it was nothing. And now, going back and look at it, if we ever are in that situation where it's like it comes at night, I think it'll be the dumb will hurry up and perish.
It'll be a purge situation.
Yeah.
It really will. And it won't be like a national thing that will just be like, oh, you can go ahead and do this on this day. Like, it's cool. It'll be literally a chaotic situation where nobody gives a shit.
I think you would have to board up your walls, your windows, your doors, because you saw the way people were acting over toilet paper and milk and eggs. I mean, even just a few weeks ago, you saw what people were doing with gasoline when they heard that gasoline might be going out. People were out there
pouring in the jugs and shit like that.
Come on, bro. Watching this movie really brought me into the limelight, as far as like, I don't know if I ever want to get into that kind of situation.
Well, I mean, okay, so I want to go ahead, and this is jumping a little forward into the movie, but I'm just touching on the specific thing that a character did. Okay, so one thing that is kind of being taken for granted in today's society is fireplaces. And the thing why I'm saying that is fireplaces can keep you warm with nothing but wood for fuel. So the thing is I kind of liked where, you know, they were splitting the wood, and he, instead of saying, oh, you suck at it, just let me do it, he taught him the technique. You know, he taught him to aim. He taught him how to judge where he's at. He taught him, you know, sit down like you're on a shitter, as in the exact words he used, you know. So he's basically telling them, you know, you need to go ahead and put some force into it, as well as this is how you put your body force into it, you know. So, and then he chopped wood. So, you know, I mean, that's one thing that is big right there, as well as, you know, in a setting like that, you're not right directly on top of each other. So I think that setting would be more easy to defend / live in. And on top of that, like Paul's words, right around that same scene with the chopping wood, you know, well, at least we won't run out of firewood easily, and, you know, because they're in a friggin' thick forest. So, yeah, true.
But I want to talk about it. And you watched this on Netflix.
Yes.
And even reading here on IMDb, it says, you know, it starts off horror.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and put it out there that this is a This is more of a psychological thriller slash horror film than it is a horror movie. It's not your constitutional horror film. It's not that at all.
And I'll even put it so more as it's a bit more suspense for that matter, more than horror for that.
But for 90% of the people that listen to this episode and probably going to go out and check it out, you're going to search and it's going to pop up under horror in Netflix.
And I mean, don't get me wrong.
Don't pay attention to that.
If you're literally expecting like to get scared like Blair Witch Project or some bullshit like that, just don't expect that at all.
And you kind of used the words earlier, you know, when we were texting over the phone about this episode of the movie.
Yeah.
You said misleading.
Yeah.
Explain to me why you think it's misleading.
So, okay. I like when we're doing stuff like this, when I don't really know the movie that well, one thing I really like to go into is kind of director interviews. And they basically, a lot of people are saying that It Comes at Night, the title is very misleading, which I agree. It is, you know, because that red door, it's kind of like The Village for that matter. You're expecting something just horrifying to come up to that door, and you're expecting, you know, fucking Annabelle to be right there or some shit. You know, you're right. Expecting something creepy or horrifying or something, but nothing ever does. However, some of the most weird stuff in this movie
happens at night.
You know,
the kids' nightmares.
Right.
The weird shit with the dog happens at night.
Yeah.
So everything that is really mystery and horror about this movie all happens at night.
There's one thing about the truck ride over to Will's house that I want to ask you if you actually caught, but we'll get into that here in a minute.
So I adore, and that's pretty a strange word to use for this movie,
yeah,
but I adore the grandpa's death.
Okay.
In this movie, the way it starts out and the makeup and the way he looks like he's just been bubbling.
Right.
I thought that was, you know what, because I haven't seen this movie since it came out in 2017, so when I popped it in and I just started watching and I was amazed, I was like,
I feel like he kind
of creepy
took some hits because those whelps felt like or looked like paintball shots.
I don't think it's that. It's just like whatever disease you catch, I think it's a chemical thing.
Yeah, it seemed like it at least.
Almost like whether it be, you know, maybe a World War III type thing.
Right.
Where they drop bombs or a chemical outbreak.
To me, it kind of reminded me of a bit of a nuclear thing.
Or like, you know, maybe like, what's the thing that people were scared about in the mail a few years ago?
Oh, anthrax.
Yeah. Maybe something like that. I don't know. It doesn't really explain, which is fine. I'm okay with that. You don't need it to be explained to you. So I'm fine with that, but I think it's going to be, just the opening of the grandpa and him dying and then showing you what they do with dead bodies.
Yeah.
And I got to say, Joel Egerton in this movie,
he did good.
He was great. I enjoyed how they made his character just by the book. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, and this is how we're going to survive. You either survive with us or you're going to perish.
And I mean, that's the thing, you know, he's got a ton of things that, you know, so, okay, when they were explaining their professions beforehand, I love that he just says, I was a history teacher. You want to know anything about the Roman Empire? Let me know. You know, it was just kind of like, it wasn't a thing of like sassiness or a thing of just like smart aleck for that matter. But it was just like, yeah, this is what I was. And it's just like, what have you gone through to adapt to this? You know? So, I mean, that's
the thing. Or makes you wonder how long have they been going through this? To me felt like A Quiet Place before A Quiet Place.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It felt like this could have been, you know, this was...
But instead of the monsters, a disease instead, yeah. So yeah.
Or even maybe a supernatural nightmare? Because it seems like...
I've got thoughts on that,
When you have the nightmare, or when you just continue to have, you know, those bad dreams, if you, you know, you wake up and you eventually have what you dreamed. Kind of
calling it into existence, basically.
Yeah,
you know, when you're so negative, okay, and this is why you've got to be positive throughout the day, because when you're negative about something, you will eventually make that thing happen.
Yeah, you will be negative.
And I mean that's the thing. Like, you know, if you think about someone, you know, stealing from you, eventually it's going to happen. You know, or something like that. you know, which that's, yeah, but either way, I want to ask you something that might be a bit more controversial to add to this early to the episode, but I want to ask you, do you think they all had it right after the grandpa anyways? Because think about it like this.
They could have.
Can the dog transmit? That's the thing I'm thinking about through this, through half of this fucking movie.
I'm saying the dog had it the whole time too.
And that's the thing, you know, because, okay, Travis is seeing, at night, he's seeing the nightmares and all that about Grandpa, about Kim and different things like that. Kim is Will's wife, you know, and...
And we haven't even really introduced Will yet.
No, we haven't.
You know, they go in and, you know, the break-in, Will tries to break into the house and...
This is in, like, the third or fourth scene of the entire movie,
too. Yeah. So it's all early. And that's another thing I like about this movie is it's like
it's decently paced.
An hour and 25 minutes, an hour and 30, and then it gives you – it almost has like a build to it.
Yeah.
Like it – just until it pops. Then yeah. It – oh, boy, does it pop at the end. But no, after they break into the house, I was going to ask you, what did you think of the attack? Like, you know – first off, do you think Will was lying the whole time? Do you think he really was looking for food for that or a shelter?
I think he was half and half. I do think he was lying to an extent because later on.
Or does he know? Does he think maybe that they have the sickness and they're trying to?
I don't know. I can kind of see that version of it too, but I can kind of see to where he's lying about where he was and who he's with versus lying to, you know, get his family things, because I do think he is searching for, you know, water, food, stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, so okay, if you've been walking for 50 miles, that's a long fucking time. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've walked for 30, and that took quite a while. But I mean, if you're walking for 50 miles, bro, at your own leisure, not being pushed by somebody, not a death march or some shit, that's a lot of fucking time. Like, you could extend that out to at least 20-25 hours.
What'd you think of the attack? As they're going to get Will's family right off hand, like, not even 5 minutes after they leave, they get attacked.
So, this is kind of what I think. I think Will knew them to a point, and he was basically kind of not alerting, but at the same time, it was kind of just, like, testing Paul to see, you know, how quickly he could overcome him. And he was going to one to two options. Either one, they overcome him, go back, kill his family. They've got that big-ass house, and they're good. Two, he can't. They don't kill him. So he has to go ahead and actually fend for food for his family anyways and keep to that role. So I'm not saying Will is fully untrustworthy, but at the same time, I'm not saying Paul is in the wrong about not trusting him about
trying. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? I agree too. I think maybe
because I mean like if this happened right now here to our world, you know, I could trust you. That would be one thing, but some Jack Bauer, I don't fucking know Jack Bauer across, you know, town. I don't know who the fuck you are.
Have the feeling of maybe one family trying to overlook and take another family.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my thing right there.
Because who knows, you know, when Will broke into their house, the other two could have been outside. And Will was like, hey, if I don't come back out,
don't
just leave.
Yeah.
And he never came back out.
And not only that, but on top of that.
But then, like, the next day when they leave, they're right in that range. Those two people are in that range.
Well, I think it was 2 days after.
Right, because they wanted to see if he would develop a sickness or not.
Right, yeah. And not only that, but then they were talking on the ground, and they left him out there for a whole night, too, after they tied him up and shit. But with his wife is smart. She basically was like, Paul's wife basically said, you don't know if he's seen the smoke from Dad's, you know, death, you know. And he's like, she said the smoke, and he's like, what are you talking about? What about it? And she's like, he could have seen that, like, and found us easily like that. And that
makes me think, like, if Paul / Joe Egerton was so smart and, you know, was.
Well, overlooking details.
Right. If he's that way, then why set the body on fire? I would just bury it, so there's no smoke signals.
Right, but I mean, on top of that, don't get me wrong, and I understand this as in work, because this is a lot of fucking work, but then he buried him in, like, a 3-inch grave, you know, so it's just like, damn, dude, like, this is a shallow-ass grave, you know, one.
So, you know, it's a little upsetting that we won't really know for sure. If you had a base, if Will knew them, what would your percentage be? I'm going to say he 90% knew who they were.
I'm going less. I'm going 70. I'm going 70 just because, like, maybe he met them. Maybe he was under pressure. I mean, there could have been a ton of shit because literally, like Paul said, you say you walked 50 miles and didn't see shit. But when I go, when we get 10 miles out, these two guys start attacking us. Like, what the hell? Okay, so I want to point out something that you may or may not have seen. And a lot of you out there may or may not catch this either. But when... Okay, so when it's a side profile on his head, and it's like you're in the passenger seat going with him, there's a point to where the camera has it literally aiming out of the driver's side window, and there's a stump, and it might be just a tree looking strange as hell, but for a quick glimpse out of the driver's side window, it looks like somebody weirdly sitting on a tree or sitting on a stump. And I'm going, did you just not notice that because you're looking in the mirror? And then you look in the mirror to look at him, and that's where the hunters are. Or the shooters, whatever you want to call them. Because that's my thing. Maybe.
So you're saying you saw the hunter before the shot was fired?
Something. I don't know what it was, but it was strange looking. And it was just a bit before the shot was fired, yeah. But it's basically where they turn the side profile of literally the camera looking to the side of his face, and his face covers a decent proportion of the screen, and yeah, I don't know.
So now enters Kim and the little boy. I want to say I enjoyed the montage. Before we get to that, though, Joel Egerton sits them down, and he pretty much goes over the house rules. What'd you think of that scene?
I thought that was good and smart on his half right there, because literally it's going, this is what I expect. If you violate this, well, we'll go from there.
And then I thought it was really good attention to detail as far as the montages of the video goes, as far as them doing chores together, getting along, cooking, cleaning. The way they use water for baths and the way they use, you know, they boil the water. They have a boiling water system.
And, yeah, that was ultra smart to include all that different stuff in there, because literally it's showing them how they have survived all this time. And then on top of that, you know, it shows that they're a lot smarter than your average jackass just because they're doing all this intelligent shit.
What did you think of Travis's weird obsession with Kim?
I mean,
he had one.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's kind of a almost natural thing, and I'm not saying it's a good and just whatever thing. I'm not saying that at all, but it is a natural thing, simply because the only female around is your mom. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, naturally, the next female you see that's even partially decent is going to kind of be your love obsession after that, whether she's another man's wife or not. Especially in a time like this, you know, and I mean, that's kind of the unfortunate thing for him, is because it's not really that he's fully in control of that. But at the same time, when they were both sitting sitting out downstairs in the middle of the night, that whole little back and forth, both of them were flirting.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just him, and that just tinder on the fire.
What did you have the feeling of his nightmares? He's Joe Egerton's character had one as well, but Travis is the only one who continued to have them.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel
throughout the whole movie he had like 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah, so I kind of feel it's a certain. It's hard to explain it, but I kind of feel it's a certain thing of that he might have been sleepwalking. I don't know. Maybe I'm okay. Maybe this is one of, like, the viewer, like the listeners like to say, me being high again.
Or this could just be fantasy booking.
True. Very true. But legitimately, I want to say that they all had the sickness beforehand. Okay. At the same time, part of that sickness is them going off the handle. And part of it can be just having nightmares. So I think there's a less aggressive and a more aggressive feel to it. And he had the less aggressive. But I want to say that, you know, they basically were him getting up in the middle of the night and having hallucinations. Having a stroke now. Hallucinations in the middle of the night. Whether it was about Kim, about his grandpa, the dog, whatever. You know, whoever, whatever. But I think that was part of it for him at least. But I've got a bigger reason why later on. Because I think he was the main culprit.
So you think Travis was it?
To a point, yes.
Let's get into the dog scene then. Because if you think that, I want to get your theory. If you feel like that way on the dog, we're getting into the fun, deep conversation of the movie. What did you think the dog had? Because they're out there, they're looking for something, or they're out there just doing their manly duties for the day. The dog takes off.
Yeah.
Doesn't come back until the next night or that night. And he looks like he's been chemically burned, or he's got some shit going on, or he's now he's bubbling, if you will.
Well, I mean, okay, so I'm not gonna say 100% like this, but that, okay, if I'm not mistaken, glass broke right around that time too,
right?
I think the dog was cut up.
So, but it sounded like somebody like tried to jump in, or how did the dog get into the door?
And that's my thing right there. Is,
so if your theory is right, if you think Travis is sleepwalking, or if he is it, yeah, that would mean that he let the dog in,
yeah,
and then just fucked it up.
Possibly.
Was the kid it? Or was the kid doing some sleepwalking stuff he shouldn't have been doing?
The little boy?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the kid was it, but, you know, I mean, what happened to him happened to him. But,
what do you think happened to the dog, though? You think the dog had the sickness?
I think the dog might have gotten his ass kicked outside, but I don't think he had. Well,
but who let the dog in?
I think it was Travis. And I mean that's the thing is, like, I think Travis was sick because of Grandpa. Okay, the grandpa made the dog sick. The dog made Travis sick because Paul and his wife didn't have that much interaction with the dog. They really did.
They didn't want the dog. They knew it was Travis's dog.
You know, well, they knew it was Grandpa's. And
right.
It's Travis's, so whatever. But at the same time, Travis slept in a bed right next to it, you know, always was kissing it or petting it, something. And I mean, you know, I've got three dogs, so guilty too, so whatever. But, you know, at the same point, it's kind of like, okay, they were wearing masks, like actual miners masks, basically. So, you know, HVAC masks. And literally they wore that just to be in the room with somebody else that had this. Because basically they were afraid of it being a thing that you caught through breathing. I mean, honestly. So my big thing is if that happened and all that, and Travis got it from the dog, then his parents have it automatically. I mean, honestly, automatically, you know, they've been as closer than me and you are right now, you know? So, I mean, as far as a dinner table away from each other, if that, so I'm just like, that happens, then Will's family gets it from them or Will's family or Will brings it. Will's family brings it, whatever. But I mean, there's a lot of different things that you could go on with this.
But after the dog, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the movie, because it really starts picking up after both families start, you know, pointing their fingers, doing the he said, she said thing. But before that, we got some vibes to get off of our chest. This week, guys, we only have two more to go, so it's going to be pretty – next week is going to be a pretty – almost a bittersweet episode. But this week, guys, on our A24 Vibes, you guys have been doing tremendous. I really do. Every week on Monday when we dig into the email bag, you guys are heavily, heavily talking about Ed, the A24 vibes.
Right.
Everybody always emails about the movie or, hey, this has got A24 vibes. So if this is the first time you guys have heard this, in this segment, we'd like to dedicate this to vibes. And pretty much what I mean off of that is, you know, if you belong to an A24 group, everybody's always like, hey, that's got some A24 vibes. So once a week in this episode, we pick out a movie and we'll talk about that movie and, you know what, pretty much be like, hey, this has A24 vibes. So this week, Ed, I'll go first. This movie really helped out with the movie that I'm going to talk about today. So the movie that I'm picking that has A24 vibes is 10 Cloverfield Lane. Starring John Goodman, John Gallagher, and directed by Dan Trachtenberg. This movie has got some weird, strange vibes all over it, but to me, after watching It Comes at Night, I really felt A24 vibes off of some of the John Goodman performances. And this is a movie that we honestly have been wanting to talk about for years, so it might come into you know, it might be an episode here before too long, but after getting into a car accident, a woman is held in a shelter by a man who claims that the outside world is affected by a widespread chemical attack. Sounds like what we're talking about today.
Yeah, no joke on that.
So this to me is 10 Cloverfield Lane. I enjoy it. It's not very long. It's like an hour and 40 minutes, but this has got A24 vibes written all over it. And that's the film I dedicate and recommend to anybody out there listening. So, Ed, what about you?
I'm going to go ahead and recommend one. Donnie Darko, for that matter.
It's another one we need to talk about.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to, of course. One of, if not my favorite movie of all time, for that matter. I mean, honestly, if you haven't seen it in the 20-plus years it's been out, man, I definitely think you should. It's a beautiful tragedy. I don't know. It'll just make your heart melt, as well as give you a feeling of, I don't know, strange but nice vibes, I guess. Yeah, that's the best word I can use. But on top of that, you know, it's one of, if not Seth Rogen's first movies, for that matter. So yeah, Donnie Darko, love it.
Some pretty good nominations, some pretty good A24 vibes, but let's finish It Comes at Night. I think this is a fun conversation. After the dog, you know, Travis and the family sits down, and both families pretty much are, he said, she said, pointing at each other. Why was the door open? Who did it?
Yeah.
Travis is blaming maybe the little boy, and, you know, the little boy says, I don't remember. And then Kim, or the mom, is like, you know, you were awake too. You're wide awake. Who's to say you didn't open it?
Yeah.
So Joel, Paul, has the great idea of like, you know what? Let's just calm down for a few days. Let's stay in each other's rooms and just keep away from each other, which I think was a good idea.
Part of the, and I'll point out another reason I think it was Travis that did all that. There was what? Two sets of keys that he's shown to the other family. One for Paul and one for his wife, or was it just Paul's key that he's shown?
Paul's the only one who has keys to the front door.
Okay, but I mean, you know, so that's one thing, but I mean...
But the keys aren't... The keys are to the outside door.
Right.
You can get to that little breezeway, you know, just by unlocking the red door.
Yeah.
So that's... You're saying that that's another reason that it was Travis, because he has the access to the front door keys.
Yeah, more access than anybody else, I, other than Paul and his wife, of course. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, literally, Paul grabs Travis and was, after the wood chopping scene, is like, don't ever trust anybody but family. He's like, that's all it is. Family. He's like, family. He's like, I hate to say it, but yeah. So, I mean, legitly, I would think Travis, especially maybe being in a sleepy kind of state, would... you know, a half-assed sleep state, would go ahead and hand it over to Travis before he would anybody else, for that matter. So that's... I don't know. I just have a suspicion of that right off the bat. I really do. I mean, the little boy is what, like a 4-year-old, 3-year-old? I mean, a lot of people out there will go ahead and actually, and this isn't part of my I hate kids propaganda crap.
You do hate kids, though.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, but 4-year-olds know how to lie. They truly do. You know, and I'm sorry, but they do.
Oh, yeah, they're nothing but little lying bastards.
Right. You know, I've got a 4-year-old nephew, and he'll do something right before it, and literally I ask him why he did that. He's like, I didn't do it. Like, I seen you do it.
Now you know why the lawyer in Jurassic Park left the kids in the Jeep.
Damn! But, you know, so I mean, there's all the way around the fence, but still.
So let's get into the last 10 minutes. Literally at an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, Travis hears the other family say, hey, we're going to go. And Paul, being as smart as he is like, hey, we need to see if they're sick. And if they're sick, we just need to do away with all of them.
And on top of that, don't get me wrong, that's another thing I want to point out with Travis being a creepy little bastard. He was always, and it wasn't even just Kim and Will. He was always listening to Paul and his wife as well. So, I mean, he was a creepy bastard going up into every nook and cranny, every nook and corner of the freaking house. You know, and I mean.
So I think it was a good thought out plan from Paul to be like, hey, we need to go check on them. And if they're sick, we need to just cut ties. Because he was right. Like, he's like, hey, they're going to get. What if we let them hit the road with just a little bit of supplies? They're going to get desperate. They know where we live.
Yeah.
And they'll come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's wrong of me or not, I'm 100% on Paul's side in this.
I mean, it definitely deals with how you want to look at things. And I think this movie is more of a thing of perception rather than who's right and who's wrong.
Because it's especially looking at now, it's like, kill or be killed.
Well, it's not only that, but let your family kill or let your family be killed is the whole thing. And I mean, that's what I'm going at as in perspective here, or perception. You know, it's your perception, your perspective of everything that's going on. So, I mean, literally, you can be the dog's perspective. You know what I mean? And, oh, well, y'all are assholes for not searching for me. But then again, the dog's an asshole for just jetting off after whatever the hell he thinks. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of different perceptions and perspectives here. So, I mean, it's all relative to perception or perspective, I guess.
So, whose side were you on? Were you kind of picking anybody's side at the end there when Will turned the gun on Paul and was like, you're going to give us half and we're just leaving? Were you like, let him leave? Or were you like, no, you need to hurry and get these motherfuckers out?
Well, it's kind of half and half right there. Okay, because literally, Paul has the the home front. Paul has the home, so right there, I think he has the biggest stake. However, you know, he also has the water, you know, the cycle of the water. So I mean, they got to bathe, they got to drink good water, clean dishes, all kinds of
shit. Bed to sleep in,
exactly. So I mean, there's, you know, huge things
but
right there.
But why the big need to hurry up and get out?
That
made me think that maybe they didn't have anything to do with it, and they're creeped out by what happened to the dog, and they think something's wrong with the kid, with Travis.
And I mean, that's why I'm thinking that Travis is the one who's doing shit, because of that right there. Because honestly, Paul's not going to go ahead and trip on his kid, on his own boy. He's not. He's going to trust him, you know, because he's raised him, or helped raise him with his wife for that matter. So, I mean, throughout the entire thing.
We didn't really talk about, but what did you think of the nightmare scenes that had the continuous black shit coming out of the mouth?
The, like, rotted blood or something.
What did you think of that? Did you think it was just
hallucinations? Honestly.
And I got to say, those nightmare scenes were pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I would put those up with some of the creepy horror scenes from some other movies, and I think those are done very, very well.
And I mean, that's the thing, like,
especially where, like, Kim got on top of him and you think he was having one of those, like, maybe wet dreams, and then the blood just comes out and you're like, whoa.
Like, okay, look, motherfucker. I don't know about that. But no, and I mean, honestly, I think that's him being awake, or at least sleepwalking, but with hallucinations, for that matter. that's why I'm saying I think it was him. I think he was sick and all that. And I'm not saying necessarily he was an evil person or doing evil or anything like that. But at the same time, I don't really think he was doing good. You know what I mean? I just think he was doing just weird shit.
So going out into the woods,
yeah.
You know, Paul's dragging Will out, and it's pretty much the end is near. But yeah. I thought Paul was about to die because his wife let Will hit him with the rock like at least 6-7 times before she shot him.
Yeah, and I mean
they get into a little scrubs and start fighting. Will has this big ass rock and he's just beating. He's trying to kill Paul.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you already see that he has the possibility to kill someone because you've seen him with the one guy that Paul just shot, you know, one of the 200 yeah. guys. So, I mean,
it just kind of shocked me. I was a little upset, too. I was like, man, his wife let him, you know, let him get hit 6-7 times.
Yeah, it's with almost a rock. It's almost like Sarah was choosing between the two.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's no doctors, there's no hospital, so if he's got severe brain damage or, you know, blood leak, he's dead. You just let him die.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, she shoots him, Paul goes down, or Will goes down. What did you think of the scene where the shot, literally, where Paul shoots, looks like he's trying to shoot the wife, Kim, but he shoots and kills a little boy. What did you think of that scene? Was it hard to watch?
Yeah. Yeah, but also I think Paul was seeing that the little boy was infected because they wouldn't let him open his eyes. You know, Will was always, you know, shut mm-hmm. your eyes and all that. But, yeah, it wasn't very pleasant to watch, no.
And then, you know, the wife is, Kim is just absurd. She's obscene. She's loud. She's screaming. Destroy. She's crying. You know, and Paul's like, you know what? I'm just going to put you out of your misery. And he does. So that being said, the family dies. Did you think it was another nightmare or do you think Travis really was infected at the end?
I personally do think he was infected at the end.
Did you see the mom, though? I felt like the mom had some stuff under her eyes. Sarah, I felt like her eyes, at the very end of the movie, she kind of looked like she was maybe distraught, too.
Possible. Possibly.
So, but that's kind of what I got from it. What do you think?
I mean, like I said earlier.
It kind of just abrupt and ends.
I think they all were kind of there for that matter. I don't know. I think they all were there. I think they all were sick. I think they all were messed up. But at the same point, I do think that they were, I don't know, like I said earlier, I kind of think there was a less aggressive stream and a more aggressive stream. And I think they all just got the less aggressive. Yeah. Because
so,
I mean,
so if you could fantasy book it,
I think they're dead within a week, all three of them. Personally.
What does it mean? When you look at the title now and you see It Comes at Night, what do you think it is? Is it the nightmares? Is it the boy? Is it the sickness? Or is it just a mixture of all three?
It's a hard thing to say, so I'm going to say the mixture of all three because literally you've got all the stuff that is weird in this happens at night. All of it. Everything. So, I mean, that's the thing of like the only thing weird that happens during the day is the dog running off.
What does the dog see?
Right. But, I mean, no wrong is the dog hallucinating as well.
And if that's the case, the dog was just sick.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, there's a ton of different things.
We're going to talk about some favorite scenes right quick. You know, we don't get too in-depth on the scenes here on this episode because, you know, we talk about most of the entire movie on, like, Mondays. But, no, if I had to name just some few favorite scenes right offhand, it would be the nightmare scenes that Travis has at night. Those are some really dark, creepy scenes. And then I would probably say the ending, the last 10 minutes, is just something that's unusual, unsettling, and not very comfortable to watch. I do want to point out the score in this movie. We talk a lot when we talk horror movies, we talk about how important the score is on these movies. And you know what? This might be a psychological thriller / horror movie, and it's another A24 great, but it's the score is what makes this movie, I think, that more in depth. So, Ed, what about you? Do you have any favorite scenes?
Not really, to be honest. If I had to choose, I would probably say the whole montage of learning how to adapt their life. I mean, honestly, that was kind of a fun thing. Some of the scenes to where he has the nightmares are pretty fun and pretty intriguing. But yeah, other than those two, no, not really.
So with one more A24 movie to talk about before this series concludes and we pick up another one, Ed, what's your star rating for It Comes at Night?
I'd have to give it a 6. Yeah, I'd have to give it a 6.
You didn't like the pacing of it, or?
No, the pacing was perfect. It's just literally kind of the... I think the story was trying to be too smart for its own good. It was a good story. It was well written, I think. But I think it was trying to be too smart for its own good, trying to hide way too much.
What do you mean trying to be too smart?
As in, like, you have to figure out everything. So, yeah, you know, kind of thing. And then putting small little things in the background and doing little things that are kind of random, kind of like the dog, just, you know. And I mean, it could have just been a fucking squirrel or something like that, sure, you know, at the end of the day, because dogs love squirrels. But nonetheless, it was just like, okay, this random ass thing, and then it comes back random as shit too. And
I don't think it was necessarily trying to be too smart. I'm gonna give this movie an 8, and I think I'm gonna give it an 8, and I like it for the reasons that you kind of don't like it.
Yeah,
I enjoy that it doesn't tell you everything, and I enjoy that it kind of lets you sit here and kind of, like we're doing today, we're just kind of guessing and seeing really what it was. And, you know, some movies are focused in on, like, you know what, let me give you a background story, and then after the background story, let me show you how this person dies, and let me show you this. Like, too many movies nowadays are worried about, I need to tell you the exact whole story. And that's why you get drawn out movies that are like 2:15, 2.5 hours, and I'm like, movies like this are perfect, are fine. I think, you know, and that's why I give it so high rating of an 8, because I like the intensity factor of this may be happening or this may be happening. I like that it kind of just leaves you to guess, really. You know that somebody's sick, and you know that there is a sickness, but it's fun that I think it doesn't tell you why, who, what, when, and where. That's just my feelings.
It's true.
But I'm also giving this an 8 because of the performances of kind of an unnamed cast. Yeah. Joel Egerton was really the big name coming to the table, and I was like kind of, you know, iffy on like how everybody else was going to perform around him, but I think everybody else did a really good job. The dialogue at the dinner scenes were kind of fantastic as well. The house rules scene.
Yeah,
I enjoyed this watch. I thought it was a lot better watch than last week with the killing of a sacred deer.
I'll agree.
And I really think that this movie is on the rewatchability. This is only my second time, but I think it would be fun to rewatch it, you know, here in a few weeks to see what else, you know, maybe got picked up or got left out. So, I'm gonna give it an 8. Those of you to go check it out, if you want, this is one of those movies that is on Netflix. So if you want to check it out and give us your star rating, we'll read the email Monday when we talk District 9. So go check out It Comes at Night. It's on Netflix. And come in and send us an email and tell us what you think of the movie. You can email us at cinemen921@gmail.com or send us some messages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I wonder if some of our buddies over at Friday the 14th podcast, if they've seen this movie. If you guys are out there listening, let us know what you think of this psychological horror slash thriller movie.
That'd be interesting. That'd be definitely interesting.
Since you guys, you know, you guys, if you guys haven't checked them out, I highly recommend them. They're a fun group of guys. They love talking about horror movies, so it's kind of fun when we talk a horror movie to see, you know, maybe they can give us their expertise on It Comes at Night. It'd be a fun little conversation, or, you know, they want to send us an email or a message, we'll read it out loud. Or you can just go and listen to their next episode and their past episode, and, you know, they mention us on their podcast, so maybe they'll listen to this and give us a little taste or a little, you know, thought on It Comes at Night. So go over there and listen to them wherever you listen to podcasts at Friday the 14th podcast. It's also going to be fun to see if they want to talk some old Jason Voorhees when we dig into Friday the 13th. So it's going to be fun. Ed, do you have anything that you want to put the final nail in the coffin with It Comes at Night?
Not really. I mean, honestly, fun movie itself. I definitely think it's worth a one watch. Easily just to kind of say you've seen it and kind of understand or explore it yourself. So yeah, this is Ed saying I'll see you on the silver screen.
Next week, guys, don't forget we're going to talk Green Room. So that'll be a fun conversation. It'll be our last A24 movie before we jump into the Camp Crystal Lake. And we talk Jason Voorhees over on Friday the 13th when we start talking about those movies. But Monday, don't forget, guys, we are talking all about District 9. So check out District 9 and let us know your thoughts on District 9 as we read the email on Monday. So until then, this is Juan. Say we'll see you guys Monday for District 9 right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.